My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In Baltimore, we're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. The Ravens played their first preseason game Friday night. They were back on the practice field yesterday. Great time to bring in Todd Koppovich from BaltimoreSports.com. What's going on, Todd?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Not bad. Appreciate your time, as always. And got to get a first look at some of these guys in game on Friday night. Anybody stand out to you? Anybody disappoint you on Friday?
Well, you know, I thought Trenton Simpson stood out. 11 tackles, led the team. Tyler Wallace had some nice catches. I thought he played well. Harbaugh, you know, he credited Filele and Ben Cleaver for what they did on the offensive line, playing new positions. You know, overall, I don't think the offense did much. Defense, I thought, was okay. But again, you know, these are all guys. Most of these guys are just trying to make the team, make the roster or practice squad. So we're going to see a different Ravens team when they open against Kansas City.
Well, I think, yeah, the offense, because like you said, Todd, I was not, you know, if you said who really stood out offensively, kind of have a hard time giving you a name.
Yeah, the running backs didn't play particularly well. The receivers, Harbaugh told us on Sunday that some of them are running the wrong routes, which sort of messed up the quarterback. The quarterback play wasn't very good either.
No.
Leary had a 1-yard sneak for the touchdown. But, yeah, it was very – the Eagles didn't play much better on offense either. So it was a pretty – as far as offense goes, a pretty boring game.
Todd, we saw Nate Wiggins get nicked up on Friday night. John Harbaugh said he's not overly concerned. Same Kyle Hamilton. We saw him go down in practice yesterday. Kind of the same tone from Harbs. Are you buying the optimism?
Yeah, I mean, we asked him point blank. I asked him about, you know, what about your depth in the secondary? And he said, that's okay. You know, Austin Mallett, you know, the guy, he said the only guy that's really hurt. You know, we'll have to see if Wiggins is out here today. I don't think so. He probably won't play on Saturday. As far as Hamilton goes, you know, he's another guy. He had the elbow issue in OTAs. And when he went down yesterday, man, it was the entire crowd, there's a hush over the crowd. You know, Cornell, you were there. Lamar Jackson and Isaiah Likely and John Harbaugh went behind the tent to check on him. So it was a pretty scary moment, but he said he's going to be okay. You know, again, another guy, Rashad Bateman, hasn't been out here. And Harbaugh said doesn't have any worries about him. I guess we'll have to wait and see, you know, as far as what the injury report is on that first week.
Hey, Todd, you know who disappointed me in that game a little bit was Ali. You know, the thing, you know, he fumbles the kick, drops a pass, you know, all the things that you can't do, he did.
Yeah, he's not separating himself at all. I mean, Owen Wright played better, wasn't spectacular. I think Owen Wright, you know, hit the hole. And, you know, I think, you know, with Ali and Roy playing for that third spot, it's going to really come down to special teams because they're not going to get many carries with Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. But, yeah, that third running back spot was underwhelming. And I thought Josh Johnson was really underwhelming too.
We're talking to Todd Koprowicz, who covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Todd, we've seen the Ravens add Anthony Miller and Russell Gage here over the last week, a couple of veteran guys adding them to this wide receiver room. What does that tell you about this team? Does that say more about concerns about Bateman, or is that, in your mind, more about some of these younger guys on the back end of the depth chart?
Yeah, I don't think any of these younger guys are going to make the team. So they want to get a look at these veterans just in case. I think it's a good insurance policy in case Bateman's not ready to play the opener. So, yeah, I mean, these guys have, you know, they don't have spectacular numbers, you know, those guys, but they can catch the ball. They do have some history there. So, yeah, you know, the Ravens, obviously Harbaugh is not comfortable, you know, putting one of these younger guys on a 53-man. He'd rather have a veteran in there in case Bateman's not ready. I think that's a good insurance policy. They're just protecting themselves.
Now, Todd, when I look at the offensive line, the biggest thing, you know, like with Falele and Cleveland and, you know, either Rosengarten or McCary and even Voorhees, nobody, they didn't knock people off the ball. And even Kolar, I was showing Cordell some clips of Kolar. I mean, he's not a very good blocker either. So, I mean, that's why the run game, there was really no hole. They catch too much for me.
Yeah, you know, that's going to have to improve. Although when Derrick Henry gets back there, he's going to mask a lot of problems for the offensive line when he starts running over people. And Lamar Jackson, too, is also going to mask some of those problems. But you're right. You know, I think the pass blocking was okay, but the run blocking, they didn't create any holes. So that's a work in progress. And they got about a month here to get it fixed. But, yeah, Harbaugh said, you know, he'd like to have he might have the offensive line starter set after this game. He might not. But it'll be interesting to see who he puts out there and what these guys can do.
Todd, David Ajabo, we didn't see him play on Friday night. John ended up saying that he's cleared for practice but not for the games just yet. What have you seen from him so far in training camp, and how optimistic are you that Ajabo will be able to be a focal point for this defense?
Well, he hasn't been real active in training camp. You know, we didn't see him in the game, and he has a history of injuries already in his young career. So, you know, his track record says you have to be skeptical. You know, I don't know if he can equal Clowney's production 9.5 sacks, but if he can give him, you know, 14, 15 games, I think they'll be happy. But again, you know, the jury's out on this guy to see if he can stay healthy. And so far, it hasn't been very encouraging.
Yeah, when I was watching him yesterday, there was one of the plays where he was kind of going in through traffic and stuff, and he was like kind of holding his leg back. You know, he didn't want to get engaged in it and stuff. He's not ready. He may be on PUP or something to start the year, or 4-game IR to start the season, because I don't see him being able to help right now. And also, Todd, who jumped out at you rushing the passer?
Well, they didn't get much of it with
no
pass rush.
Nope.
No, they didn't get any penetration there. So, again, they're backup guys. But, you know, that's going to be a concern. You know, Patty Williams had a nice sack.
Untouched, no doubt.
Yeah, I think the secondary, they did a better job rushing the pass than what they had on the outside linebackers and edge rushers. So, yeah, you know, that's you know, that's what we've been talking about all offseason, where the Ravens will get this pass rush from, to equal that number of sacks last year. Right now, again, you know, they solved the problem last year. We were asking the same question last year about the pass rush. But, you know, do they add another guy before the season starts? I mean, I think it's a possibility, especially if, like you said, Ajabo goes to IR.
Todd, we've talked a lot about Isaiah Likely here. He had a great practice yesterday. I just think he's been so good really all summer, whether it's OTAs, mini camp, training camp, it doesn't matter. He's been flashing. But you look and you see they have Zay Flowers, they have Mark Andrews. If Rashad Bateman's been talked up a lot, I know he's not on the field right now, but what does a great year for Isaiah Likely look like for you?
I think 600-700 yards. You know, again, there's only so many targets to go around. I do think Ty Monken is going to implement a lot of two tight end sets, and Likely can play like a wide receiver. He can get downfield. You know, so I think 600-700 yards. You know, seven, eight touchdowns. I think it's a great year for him, and he'll build on that. Again, Mark Andrews is going to be the guy. He's going to be Lamar Jackson's favorite target. He's a proven guy. But again, you know, Andrews had that really bad injury last year and likely stepped up. So hopefully, if both those guys can stay healthy, I think you're going to see them get a lot of looks, a lot of targets on the field. Because again, these group of wide receivers, it's a young group, and you know, outside Zay Flowers, you know, who's putting Nelson now? You are had a decent year, but outside those guys, you know, who's Lamar trust? That's a big thing.
Todd, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time. How can people keep up with you and check out your work?
BalmerSports.com and at Ty Karpovich on Twitter.
Todd, appreciate you, man. We'll see you out there back at practice.
All right, Todd. I'll see you this afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around. We'll check in on some USA basketball, both the men's and women's, come home with some gold. We'll see what else went on in the world of sports this weekend next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
No timeouts here. Johannes up ahead. It's Williams. That was a two. Baked it in. A two ball. And the United States is going to claim gold for the eighth consecutive Olympics. What a finish. Williams with her foot on the line.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan, getting you the whip around on this beautiful Monday morning in Charm City. That audio you just heard, courtesy of NBC. The women, they take home the gold medals, eight straight gold medal finishes for the women's basketball in the United States. They defeat France 67 to 66. this one really came down to the last shot, as you just heard. Williams had her foot. It really was the Kevin Durant situation all over again from the year that the Nets had played the Bucks in the playoffs, and KD hits the shot, but his foot is on the line. And this one was, without a doubt, her foot is halfway over the line. There was no debate there. The only debate could be whether it was a foul on the shot. She hits the shot off the glass, and I thought it was a borderline foul there that could have been called, but I didn't get upset when they didn't, because, of course, I'm glad that the U.S. has taken home the goal. But they definitely pushed the women's team. It was a tough back-and-forth game, and at times the female, the women's national team for the U.S., they looked out of sync. I mean, they had turnover after turnover after turnover in spurts. They couldn't get stops. But when it got to crunch time, and they finally, I think, honed in on a rotation, Kelsey Plum came in, hit a couple of big shots for them, was able to kind of stabilize their offense. Asia Wilson could not get anything to drop early. But in the second half, that changed. Her defense picked up. Breonna Stewart hit a couple of shots in the second half as well. I think once they figured out the right five to put on the floor, they were able to get into the rhythm.
And then they made some key free throws down the stretch too, which helped them out. But that was, like you said, Cordell, it was a hell of a game to watch. How many of the girls on the French team are in the WNBA?
I'm not exactly sure.
Is that Williams' girl? Is that Williams' girl?
I don't believe. Don't get me lying. I don't know, to be honest. I think she wants. I know it's a girl that was on their team that's saying that she's ready to come back to the WNBA. But I don't know if Williams is. Ayayi also hit a couple of big shots for them early. She was the one that kind of stabilized France in that first half. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talent on the floor yesterday.
Oh, no doubt.
In that game on both sides. We go from one United States-France game in the gold medal game to another one. Let's go to the men's side where, man, Steph Curry stole the show.
Durant back to Curry, dancing on Batum over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Night, night, night!
Curry unconscious in the fourth.
That call courtesy of NBC as well. I mean, it was electric. Steph Curry hits four threes in the last 3 minutes of the game, finishes with 24 points and 5 assists. LeBron James, who would win MVP of the tournament, 14 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. Kevin Durant, 15 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. Also, Devin Booker also had 15 points, 6 rebounds as well. Total team effort from the USA. I thought LeBron did a great job early in the game, kind of giving them some juice, and Kevin Durant hit some shots early, but Steph Curry was the closer in the last two games, really. He's been the guy, and we've all seen Steph catch fire at times. We've seen it in the playoffs. We've seen it in the finals, but to see it on that stage and when they really needed it the most, that was some of the best basketball I've seen in a long time. Yeah.
And the men were turning the ball over a lot, too.
Yeah, they were.
And France would never go away. You know, the U.S. would get up like 11, then it'd be down to 6 again. Mm-hmm. And it would be so close to put-away time. And then they'd turn the ball over, those type of things. But, yeah, I thought Booker started out good, you know, making those threes. And Embiid sucked at the beginning of the game. He looked like...
And to Kerr's credit, he figured out early this wasn't the type of game that Joel Embiid needed to play 20-plus minutes in. This was an AD and Bam Adebayo type of game. Get some athletic bigs out there that can defend on the perimeter, that can rebound. That's what those two guys gave him.
Yeah, because Wembanyama was unbelievable. And the French team played their ass off.
They
played well. It was, like you said, Cordell, I watched it from start to finish, and it was exciting. It was fun. And it was fun because the U.S. won. But, and then, like, the plays that Curry, the shots he were making,
crazy.
It was unbelievable. And you know what's cool watching those guys? I mean, they were all into it big time. And the intensity and stuff was there. Playoff atmosphere type thing. The French crowd was going nuts. It was really, really cool.
26 points and 7 rebounds for Victor Wembanyama. 20 points for Yabusele, their big man, who was he was a force for them all throughout that game yesterday. A couple of tough baskets for him. But yeah, it was high-level basketball played. A lot of physicality, which we don't get a lot of in the NBA. I would love to see the end. I feel like we say this every year. I don't love everything about international basketball, but I do love the fact that they let these guys play. And when you have...
Oh, yeah, it was physical.
Oh, very physical. And you see all this talent on the floor for Team USA. And what I loved was you got to see all these great players be great in roles that we don't necessarily always get to see them in the NBA. All these guys are the guy on their team. But when you play for a team like this, you got to put your ego to the side and be okay with taking on a different role. Devin Booker took on a role as one of their better defenders. We don't ever talk about Devin Booker playing defense in the NBA, but that was one of his best assets in this tournament. I mean, Steph Curry being able to be Steph Curry. Anthony Davis also took a huge sacrifice because he pretty much just allowed himself to just be a rebounder and a defender for the most part. Get some second chances, but he wasn't the focal point. I just liked seeing these guys be great in their individual roles.
But AD, I mean, Cordell, some of the blocks he made and
it changed the game. His defense changed the game.
It was, yeah, he was a standout in that game. But no, it was fun. And I don't know, do you hear any of the guys that didn't, like Halliburton never played the whole...
Oh, yeah, and he was happy. He posted a picture on Instagram or something talking about when you get an A on the class project and you didn't do anything. Like, he knows what it is. Guys like him and Anthony Edwards didn't play a lot either. Only nine minutes for Edwards. These guys are the future of Team USA. They'll be back. The Durants, LeBron, Steph, they're gone after this.
And then you think Tatum was upset? I mean, was it more the national media or?
Who knows, to be honest. I'm sure there was a little pride there. He's coming off of winning the NBA Finals. He is one of the better players, not just young players in the league, one of the better players in the league. So I'm sure he felt some sort of way, but he's another one that's going to be a part of the future of Team USA. The next time they go back out there, him and Anthony Edwards and those guys, and hopefully Ja Morant, if he can stay on the right track, they'll be the faces of this team.
You know what was pretty cool watching was, you know, Steph is what, 38? LeBron's 39 or 40.
The old guys took it home.
The last two games, Cordell, the old dudes in the fourth quarter, they're the ones that got it done.
Yeah.
And kind of showing the young guys how to close.
Yeah, and how to play on a team with this much great talent on it without having to be the guy. I mean, you think, you know, LeBron is sitting there watching Steph hit these shots. Kevin Durant is sitting there watching. They allowed each other to have their moments. And there were times in this tournament where LeBron was the guy. It was times where KD was the guy. Anthony Edwards had his spurts. They allowed each other to take over when it was necessary, but just jump back in when they were needed.
You know what was cool, Cordell, was those last 4 minutes of the game when all those guys noticed Steph's on.
Oh, yeah. Get out of the way.
They were just feeding them the
ball. Get out of the way. 410-583-1057 is the number. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Jared Dubin, talk some baseball with him. No.
NFL.
CBS Sports. Yeah, I had to pull my notes up. Jared Dubin from CBS Sports. We'll talk some NFL with him. A lot of the young rookies were on the field this weekend. Most of them looked really good, so we'll talk to him about that. A couple of injuries going on around the league as well. That's next here on The Fan. Right now, let's bring in Jared Dubin from CBS Sports. Talk some NFL with him. What's going on, Jared?
Not too much. How about you? How you doing this morning?
Not bad. Appreciate your time today, and a lot of teams are on the football field over the weekend. Got to get our first look at some of these rookie quarterbacks. Most of them impressed. Anybody stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I liked what I saw, obviously, on the few drives that we got out of Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels hit that big pass down the sideline, I believe, to De'Ami Brown. That looked like a real nice throw, and apparently the offensive lineman, Sam Cosmi, said that Daniels changed the play at the line of scrimmage, which is a good sign as well. And then Caleb Williams, you know, he held the ball in the pocket, which we know that he likes to do. But he also had, on that first drive, he had a really good throw to DJ Moore, sort of late in the down. He had a really nice scramble up the middle that somebody put a video on Twitter of him breaking down that play that sort of matches it up to the video of the scramble, and I thought it was really interesting. And he had another really nice throw to, I believe it was to Cole Kmet, sort of scrambling out to his right and firing a strike over the top of two defenders. I thought both of those guys, granted that it's, you know, against usually not starters and it's the preseason, so it's very vanilla stuff, but you saw what you would want to see.
What was your opinion of the kickoff rule?
I'm still sort of skeptical about how it works because a lot of the teams seem to be kind of confused about how it works. It'll take a while to get used to, I think. You know, I'm glad to see more returns. As someone who was at the University of Miami with Devin Hester, who just went into the Hall of Fame, I'm glad to see returns come back into the game.
Jared, you look around the league and we're seeing the injuries start to pick up. I want to go to Kansas City. We saw Marquise Hollywood-Brown get hurt in their preseason game dealing with the shoulder issue. Not sure how that's going to impact the start of his season. But if he's not able to be there, what does that do, if anything, to that Chiefs offense?
Yeah, I mean, it takes away one of the guys that they thought obviously was going to stretch the field for them and give them a little bit more of a, you know, a downfield passing attack than they've had over these last couple of years. You know, a few years ago, teams started playing them like heavy, too high defenses to take away their stuff down the field, and they turned into a very, you know, short passing attack kind of offense. I believe last season Mahomes was, you know, last in the league or somewhere around there in terms of his average depth of throw because it was all like dink and dunk kind of stuff because of the way the teams play them now. And, you know, they go and sign Hollywood. They draft Xavier Worthy, sort of trying to replicate what Tyreek Hill gave them in terms of being able to stretch the field and threaten defenses with speed. And, you know, if you take Hollywood out of there, there's just one less guy that can do that. And I would imagine if he's not ready for the start of the regular season, then Worthy's going to have a big role right away.
Hey, Jared, it seems like more teams are playing guys in the preseason. Do you kind of see it that way? And what would you do if you were the coach of a team?
Yeah, I think that it sort of depends on the team in terms of whether guys are playing or not. Like you look at Dallas and the Rams yesterday, basically none of the guys that you would want out there were out there for either of those teams. And if it were me, that's sort of the way I would trend. I feel like there's not much upside to putting guys out there because it doesn't necessarily translate to the regular season anyway. And for the most part, particularly with veteran guys, the only things that can happen out there are bad.
We're talking to Jared Dubin from CBS Sports. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Jared, we're getting ready to get to have the season start in a couple of weeks. I mean, the first preseason week is already come and gone. I feel like we're in that mode now where preseason is about to fly. Is there a team you're excited to see this year? A team, whether it's a bounce back team or a team that was good last year that you want to see if they can build on that success?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to see the Bears. Caleb Williams is in arguably the best position ever in terms of a number one overall pick and the surrounding talent that he has. I mean, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze is like an absolute embarrassment of riches for a number one pick to have. And that's really exciting to me. I want to see the Chargers. And if Jim Harbaugh can actually work magic with just literally whatever roster you give him, even if there's not a ton of talent, you know, I want to see the new look Bills offense without Stephon Diggs. I want to see Arizona and what that looks like with Kyler Murray back from his injury and, you know, Marvin Harrison added to Trey McBride and Michael Wilson. I think that's going to be really interesting. Like, there's so much stuff that I'm excited to see, honestly.
You know who I'm anxious to see? I want to see Anthony Richardson. I want to see what he can do. I mean, he got a couple plays, you know, over the weekend and stuff, but, you know, he missed a lot of time. What were they, 2-2? When he was there last year. So it's going to be interesting to see because that's going to be a really good division.
Oh, definitely. Like, I think that Shane Steichen, the head coach there, you've seen throughout his career that he can get the best out of quarterbacks. He was the Chargers quarterback coach for Justin Herbert's terrific rookie season. He was the offensive coordinator as Jalen Hurts became an MVP candidate in Philly. And obviously he was the head coach in Indianapolis last year where, you know, they had an above average offense in terms of like efficiency metrics and whatnot with Gardner Minshew under center. Like, he is going to get the best out of whatever Anthony Richardson can provide. And given his, you know, outrageous skill set, you know, physically, like athleticism and as a runner, and he can make like literally any throw on the field. There's no area of the field that he can't hit with that arm. And that's just an outrageous level of talent to give someone like Steichen, who knows how to get the best out of quarterbacks.
Well, Jared, we're here in Baltimore, so of course I have to ask you about the Ravens coming off the AFC Championship loss at home. What is kind of your outlook for this team going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to be good as long as Lamar is healthy. That's just basically the way it's been since he's been in the league. And hearing that he slimmed down a little bit to run more, I think is, you know, an interesting way to go. I think that last year, Todd Monken did a really good job of getting more out of their passing game than they did in recent seasons. And now with Lamar and Henry, and, you know, if Keaton Mitchell can get back on the field, they have so many different ways to beat you out of the backfield. The one concern I have, obviously, on offense is the offensive line. Like, what are we going to see there? But you also have to have institutional trust in the Ravens, because they always manage to get, you know, solid or better offensive line play no matter who they have up front. And I think sort of the same way on defense. You know, obviously, new defensive coordinator there. They lost multiple assistants on defense as well to other teams. So I want to see what's going to happen, you know, now that they don't have Mike McDonald scheming things up, who was pretty clearly one of the best defensive coordinators in the league over the last couple of years. But again, it tends to be the same way with them. Like, maybe they have a slow start, but by the end of the season, they figure things out on that side of the ball. And I would expect they're going to be a very good team and one of, you know, the premier contenders to knock off the Chiefs, as they have been whenever Lamar is healthy.
Jared, real quick, how about your Hurricanes? What are you expecting from them this year?
Oh, man, I'm excited for Cam Ward, who was apparently like the best quarterback that we've had since Ken Dorsey. I'm really excited to see what he can do out there, especially because the offensive line that Miami has is really, really good. The receivers have been upgraded over the last couple of years. Brought in this running back from Oregon State, Damian Martinez. And, I mean, Reuben Bain, the freshman defensive lineman last year, was like probably the best freshman in the country. And I would be absolutely shocked if not 2025, but in 2026, that he's not an early first round pick. The dude is an absolute monster. So I'm excited to see what happens on that side of the ball, too.
Jared Dubin, great job, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully we get to talk again with the NFL season right around the corner.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys. Jared. Appreciate it.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse, see what text you guys have coming in with Quick Draw McGraw. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's start here with Steve in Baltimore. Says, looks like Kobe Mayo is pressing just a little bit, kind of like all the other O's top prospects have shortly after their first call-up. Do you think he has time to turn this around before the end of the season?
Well, I hope so. Right now, they're still in a spot to where they need him, because they need as much infield depth as they possibly can get right now. So he's not going to be playing every day. You see his playing time is going down. Ramon Arias is kind of trending up again right now. So if he's there for a depth opportunity and get some chances off the bench here or there, I think that'll be fine. Again, I'm over these guys showing all that they can at the AAA level and then being brought up here for a stint and then gone right back down there. It's nothing else to prove down there. And they still need offense. Granted, he's not providing that offense right now, but he could be a guy that could eventually be a piece to the offense.
This one here on the Ravens, texter says, I know it may be second-guessing and hindsight, but did you really see a need for Wiggins to still be in the game on Friday in the second half, especially after all the plays he made early? How many more looks did he really need?
Well, it was first series of the third quarter. I don't have a problem with it. He needs reps. I mean, Falele and Rosengar, all the other guys were playing. Even Simpson, was still in the game. So, no, they had a plan. They had a plan in place. And, you know, it's always hindsight. You know, it's kind of like Hyder with the pinch hitters and all. Same type thing. If Wiggins, you know, makes that play and then he makes another play later, oh, he's great. So, you know, thank God it was nothing real serious. So I don't have a problem with it.
Nah, I didn't either.
Another one here on the defensive side of the ball. This texter says, I wasn't too impressed with Travis Jones, at least in the reps that he got on Friday. For a guy who's been getting all this breakout praise, I feel like he was just kind of lost in the mix.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree. Other than like the second play of the game, he had a bull rush where he just walked that guard right back to the quarterback and pressured. But other than that, I kind of agree. I was a little disappointed in his play. Kind of got his shoulders turned. He wasn't great against double teams. Yeah, I was kind of like expecting more because of all the hype.
And let's see, one more here on the Orioles. This texter says, maybe I'm going a little too much on the homer side of things, drinking the orange Kool-Aid. Do you think there's any chance Santander can fully catch up to Judge for the home run lead? Judge with 42, Santander with 35. The pace that Tony's been on the past 2 months has been crazy.
His pace is definitely crazy right now. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but Judge seems to be in a rhythm as well. Nobody's been as hot in terms of hitting home runs since the All-Star break than Anthony Santander. So if anybody can catch him, it is probably him. And teams don't seem like they're necessarily avoiding Santander right now, so he's getting plenty of opportunities. So, yeah, I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't say that it's likely, though.
And right Judge now is getting walked a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And still hitting home runs. Yeah. I mean, so as soon as you make a mistake, he's there to catch you up on it. So, yeah, I mean, look, I don't even need him to necessarily catch Judge. I just need him to make sure his team stays in front of Judge's team right now in the standings. And currently they're tied. Both of them tied for both for the best record in baseball right now at 70-49. So who's going to pull away first right now? Neither of these teams seem very trustworthy these days. I mean, Orioles yesterday, you're kind of waiting for them to get the big hit, and they can get it. They've got plenty of guys that can get the big hit, but I don't have trust that they can't, that they will do it. You know, I know they can, but I just don't know if they will. But that yesterday is one of the more frustrating games, losing 2-1. That's never great at all. But I continue to say last year was a team that could win one run games. This year's team, they just don't. That's just not their MO right now to be able to. And they got the pitching. Granted, the bullpen came in late. But all in all, you only give up 2 runs on the day. It's tough for me to really sit here and beat up the pitching staff. I know people want to throw tomatoes at Perez and throw tomatoes at Kimbrel, and rightfully so to a degree. But this lineup has got to give them more than what they gave them yesterday. They're too good for that, and it's going on pretty long right now. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll hear from John Harbaugh, maybe hear from a couple of these guys that played in the game on Friday as well. That's next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.